Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help members of the military community succeed in their civilian life. Today's episode number 340 with John McCaskill, The Power of Meditation.
In the SEAL teams, I had some ups and downs, some stressful moments, some depressing times. And I had a psychologist recommend mindfulness to me. And I kind of laughed at him and I said, you know what, man, I'm a 6'2" Navy SEAL. I can't be telling my guys that I'm meditating, because I kind of had this stereotype in my mind of what a meditator is, and nothing against those stereotypes, but I don't see myself as one of them. And he kind of laughed back at me and he was like, okay, well, here's the physiology behind it. I'm going to sit you down and explain what's going on in your mind. And then I want to show you some high-performing individuals that do it and the benefits of practicing.
John went from 20-year Navy SEAL to a meditation instructor. In this interview, we talk about John's work with Veterans Path, since I believe that every listener could benefit from this free program. We talk about mindfulness, how it has helped both John and I, and what it is. We also talk about how John found his way to the nonprofit space. One note in my introduction, I was wrong in using the title for John's role at Veterans Path. It's actually Deputy Director. My apologies on the oversight. If John catches wind and his SEAL training overrides his meditation training, I could be in trouble on this one. For those who enjoy this episode, be sure to check out episode 123, The Veterans Yoga Project with Dr. Dan Libby, and episode 150, Silent Meditation Retreats with me. I'll link to both of those in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org, as well as a whole host of other resources that we mention in this episode. Special thanks to screen name JMZ Ain, who wrote on iTunes, a great forum for discussions of successful, high-performing, transitioning military members. Thank you for that positive review on iTunes and all of those of you who have helped by spreading the word, either on social media, on your bases, with your command, or on iTunes. It's very much appreciated. Last thing, be sure to check out the events section at beyonduniform.org. We have a new webinar every single week right now. Old webinars are in the on-demand video section of our website if you want to sign up for those as well. Incredible content there that we're not doing on the podcast. So with that, let's dive into my interview with John. Well, joining me today in Norfolk, Virginia, my guest is John McCaskill. John, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So for listeners, I'll give you a quick bio. John is the executive director at Veterans Path, which is a nonprofit that enables returning veterans to rediscover meaning, purpose, and joy in their lives through mindfulness, meditation, and a safe community. He started out at the Naval Academy and since then has served as a Navy SEAL for nearly 19 years. For those who listened to episode 336 with Margo Laurie on Tuck's Next Step program, John is a graduate of that program as well. And for listeners, there's so much we can cover today. In general, we're going to try and tier this so that the first part of the interview, we talk about what Veterans Path is up to, because I think it's relevant to every single listener. And then we'll go over some of the more common transition stuff in the second part about how John has ended up in the, or is ending up in the nonprofit space and all of that good stuff. So maybe John, to set the foundation, one of the words I used there, actually maybe let's say two of the words I used in your intro, may be new to listeners, and that's the words mindfulness and the words meditation. And I'd love to start by learning from you, what is that? And I'd also love to learn how that came to be part of your life.
Sure. So I'll start with kind of how I define mindfulness with people who ask that question, and then every day now, and then get into how I got involved with it. So mindfulness in general is just being present in the here and now, and not being judgmental about the present. And I tell people that it's kind of like being like your dog, and in that your dog isn't concerned with things that they messed up yesterday and isn't concerned with what's going on tomorrow, but is mostly concerned with the here and now. And What we found ourselves doing in this day and age, I mean, really in any day and age, but I think it's gotten a lot worse with technology, social media, being connected to our phones all the time. We're constantly looking at pictures or video of things that have happened in the past. We're worrying about things that have happened in the past, things we should have done differently, said differently, or we're worrying about the future, bills that are coming, whatever the case may be. And really how I got involved with it is I, in the SEAL teams, I had some ups and downs, some stressful moments, some depressing times. And I had a psychologist recommend mindfulness to me. And in all honesty, when he said mindfulness, I was just like probably several of the people that will be listening to this podcast. I didn't know what that was. And then he recommended meditation. And I kind of laughed at him and I said, you know what, man, I'm a 6'2" Navy SEAL. I can't be telling my guys that I'm meditating, because I kind of had this stereotype in my mind of what a meditator is, and nothing against those stereotypes, but I don't see myself as one of them. And he kind of laughed back at me and he was like, okay, well, here's the physiology behind it. I'm going to sit you down and explain what's going on in your mind. And then I want to show you some high-performing individuals that do it, and the benefits of practicing. So I practiced for a couple of weeks, and by practicing mindfulness and meditation, what I mean is I started very simply with just some apps. That was the meditation piece, setting aside some time to actually sit down and meditate, not just trying to be mindful through my day. And by mindful, what I mean is literally paying attention to the here and now. So those mindfulness exercises may look like, as you're driving, you may actually pay attention to the steering wheel, the sensations of the steering wheel in your hand, or the sound of the wheels rolling, of the car rolling. So that's mindfulness. Anyway, I did it for a couple of weeks and I went back to the psych and I'm like, hey man, it's not working for me. What else you got? And he laughed at me. He's like, well, what you've done here is like going to the gym for 2 weeks and then coming back to your personal trainer and saying that it's not working. Mm-hmm. So I practiced for about 2 months after that. And then I started to see changes in how I was handling things, how I was handling stress. I didn't feel the lows of the depressions that I was getting. I was communicating better with my wife, communicating better with my coworkers, handling things just in a completely different way. More rationally and less reactive, more responsive, if that makes sense. At the same time, as I was going through all this, a friend of mine sat me down, a senior SEAL who had retired, and he sat me down. And he's like, hey, man, if you're thinking about retiring, you need to start thinking about what it is you want to do. And so I started dabbling in various industries, talking with people from commercial real estate and finance and whatever. And those are all well and good. I have nothing against those industries whatsoever, but they just weren't jumping out at me, something that I was passionate about. So I started realizing that I was teaching people about what I was learning as far as mindfulness and meditation, and thought, hey, you know what? I can do this for a job. And then I started doing it with local corporate teams, and then actually heard from Veterans Path. As we get into the transition part of the conversation, I'll talk about some of the foundations that I got connected with. Well, because of the Commit Foundation being one of them, I ended up getting connected with Veterans Path. They called me. And then the rest is history. So here I am as I'm actually their deputy executive director, but the executive director is Dave Drake. He and I kind of go back and forth and say, look, there's really no deputy, and then head honcho, we're really kind of one and the same. And I appreciate the autonomy that he's given me to really run and do my own thing and learn from my falters and just run with it. So. Mm. That was a really long answer. Sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. And I love the gym metaphor. I think that's like a good way to set expectation of not expecting instantaneous changes. You mentioned that you started to recognize, you know, as you, you know, maybe had a month or so under your belt, you started to recognize changes in terms of like handling stress and things like that. What were, just to get a little bit more specific for listeners, like what sort of changes did you start to notice?
Yeah. So what I, first and foremost, what I noticed was I was more focused through the day. So I've got an almost 3-year-old little girl now and a 10-month-old little boy. Mm-hmm. And what I had noticed that I was doing was I was, when I was holding my little girl, so at this time she's like 9 months old, maybe not even that old. And I was thinking about things from the past that I could have changed again, and then worrying about paying bills, worrying about what I was doing at work. Even though I was home, I was worried about work. I was thinking about things that were not happening in the very moment. And after meditating and practicing some mindfulness practices for 2 months, when I was holding my little girl, I was paying attention to her. I was paying attention to her little noises she was making. And I was paying attention to her facial expressions that she had. And I was paying attention to just the sensation of holding her. And I was like, wow, this is really a miracle that I'm holding in my arms here. And I've taken it for granted this whole time that we've had her. And then I realized that I'd taken so many other things for granted in my life. So friends, family, even work itself. Like I take work for granted. You know, it's a steady paycheck in the military. And I would go into work and realize, hey, steady paycheck, get from point A to point B in my day, and then leave. Whereas after practicing, I was like, okay, well, I'm very appreciative for this job. Now I can go in and kind of attack it with the cliche saying, with the attitude of gratitude. But as far as stress, I mean, all those things that I was thinking about that were not in the here and now, that in and of itself was the stressors. And I wasn't thinking about them when I shouldn't be. So I found myself to be more focused and more relaxed when I was with family. And then I was more focused and more relaxed at work. So it kind of compounded on itself. It brought the stress levels down. I started sleeping better. As you start to sleep better, you start to stress less, you perform better. As you perform better, you stress less. It's just, I'll say it's an upward spiral instead of a downward spiral. Mm. And it builds on itself. So that's a little bit.
That's great. I think that's great. One of the things I appreciate about your background is you come from what I think many would consider the modern day epitome of the warrior, the Navy SEAL. And then you're doing something that you shared your initial view on meditation, which I think is probably not too uncommon for many listeners, which is that's some hippie BS, or I don't know what it might be. But I'm curious, maybe even applying it to your time as a SEAL, like how does something that could be considered woo-woo like meditation, like how would that even enhance the performance of someone like a Navy SEAL, like a trained warrior?
Yeah. So really, why would it not? When you really think about it, some of the most ancient warriors, they practiced this, you know, our Eastern warriors, they practice mindfulness and meditation. And then somewhere along the line, it became kind of a weak practice to do this, mm-hmm. to get in touch with your pragmatic mind, the cognitive side of thinking. So I'll get into a little bit of the physiology here, and that'll answer some of your questions. But so in our brain, we've got the amygdala, which is responsible for the fight or flight or freeze response. And a lot of what happens every day now is reacted to by that amygdala. Our society has evolved faster than our brain has. Our brain with the amygdala used to respond to threats like a saber-toothed tiger or a fight that were way more common than they are today, right? Mm. We don't saber tooth tigers around the corner every day. But if we're in the office and somebody brings us a task, as soon as they put that task on our desk, or if we're on the battlefield and we see the slightest change from what we were expecting, our stress levels go up and we start reacting with that amygdala instead of our prefrontal cortex. Our prefrontal cortex is the part of our brain that's responsible for cognitive thinking. Well, mindfulness and meditation, the practice, you know, a lot of people will say, well, I can't meditate because my mind races all the time. Well, sitting down to meditate, as you notice your mind wandering, you actually go through the drill of coming back to focusing on the here and now, whether you're focusing on your breath, you're focusing on your physical sensations, you're focusing on a smell, whatever the case may be for your anchor. That act in and of itself, coming back to that anchor over and over again, your mind wanders, you come back to that anchor, mind wanders, come back to the anchor. That actually rewires your brain to use the prefrontal cortex more often and shrinks, physiologically shrinks the amygdala. So we react less and we respond more. We respond more rationally. So as far as why a Navy SEAL would be concerned about it, I actually just listened to another podcast today that really nailed this answer for you. So I'm going to use a bit of it for, it's Dan Harris, it's 10% Happier. I'm sure you've heard of it. They had Dr. Amishi Jha, who is a neuroscientist at the University of Miami, and Major General Walter Piatt, who's Army General up in the Pentagon. They're big mindfulness practitioners, and they're starting to implement mindfulness and meditation in the Army through those two. Anyway, that question was asked, hey, why should we be teaching this peaceful practice to people who are going to go out and be warriors, who are going to go kill people on the battlefield? And they had the best answer, and it just captured everything. So I'm just really going to reuse it. Is they said, well, we're going to train somebody to react better on the battlefield. They're not necessarily going to be better killers or better fighters, but they're going to respond more compassionately and quite frankly, more rationally on the battlefield. Rather than, again, having that amygdala hijack you on the battlefield, you're responding with your prefrontal cortex and you're thinking more cognitively through the process. So you're going to be better on the battlefield. So you may not shoot when you would have before, and that could actually help to de-escalate things on the battlefield that never should have escalated to a point that it did. And then as far as just veterans writ large, as far as why this is important to veterans writ large, I think honestly we're all stressed out. And honestly, veterans or not, we're all stressed out. But I think vets experience unique stressors, and obviously get stressed by combat, get stressed by being deployed. We get stressed by working crazy shift times and time away from family in austere environment. Why would we not want to give tools to veterans that could help to deal with these stressors? So that's I think the kind of the long and short of why I think it's important to Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, anybody in the military, and quite frankly, anybody who's dealing with any type of stress, which I think is everyone. So,
I think that's a great example. And one personal example I'll use, I had gone on a meditation retreat, which is doing exactly what John is talking about, for about a week, just kind of really, it's like the boot camp of meditation. And came back to the office the very next day. I had a fundraising call. So for my startup, was trying to raise additional money, which is, you do a lot of these conversations. And got to the point where it was clear the person wasn't going to invest. And, you know, because I was coming from having done all this meditation, I noticed in me getting, you know, this urge to just get off the call. Like, okay, it's not going to work out. Let me just go do something else. And the choice that John had talked about earlier, like that was kind of the choice that I had, was like, okay, I feel really, like, I just need to get out of here. Let me move on to the next thing. And then I had a moment or two to actually decide, do I want to do that? And I was able to switch gears. I'd never, I don't think, done this before on a fundraising call like this. I was able to switch gears of like, hey, you're not going to invest. That's great. Give me some candid feedback on this, this, and this. And it was, we talked for like another half an hour. It was incredible. It was the most direct and honest feedback because I wasn't asking him for money. But I very clearly knew that had I not been, if I had been just more reacting and just kind of knee-jerk reaction, I would have just gotten off the call and gone on to something else rather than choosing to like engage with this person in a different way. So that's just one other example of what you're talking about, John, of that. Just having a little bit of space to choose, do I want to respond as I always do, or do I want to maybe choose to respond in a different way?
Right, exactly.
Could you share a little bit more about Veterans Path? So what is it, and how can listeners be involved with that?
Sure. So you covered a little bit of it at the beginning there, but Veterans Path, we introduce vets to the practices of mindfulness and meditation. And we typically try to do that in outdoor settings. And the whole word path, P-A-T-H, comes from we try to get vets back to a sense of peace, acceptance, transformation, and honor. And what we do is it was founded by two women, Lee Lesser and Chris Fortin. And they recently turned over to the executive director, Dave Drake, and myself. It was founded in 2008. They were doing 1 day, 3 day, and 5 day retreats. We're still doing those, and they're all kind of, we're growing them to be all over the country. We've had them primarily in California and in Tennessee. We're going to try to have them in California, Colorado, Tennessee, and here in Virginia, and potentially even in Louisiana. The reason Louisiana is, funny enough, I just went home over Christmas and ran into a classmate of mine from high school who was doing something similar there in Ruston, Louisiana, of all places, with veterans. And he wanted to partner up with Veterans Path. So there's potential for some retreats there in Louisiana. But what we do at those retreats is we introduce them, introduce veterans. Currently, we're working with only veterans. We don't work with active duty. We're going to be changing that here soon. But work with veterans who have been exposed to traumatic stress on the battlefield, traumatic stress through military sexual trauma, whatever the traumatic stress is, we work with them. But we're also, since Lee and Chris, the founders, turned over to myself and Dave, we're looking to grow that to where we work with not only active duty as we kind of grow, but really work with all veterans. So it would be transitioning folks, because that's a huge stressor. As you look to transition and you lose your identity, that's a huge stress, and we want to work with them. So we're going to be trying to work with the Transition Assistance Program Office, and really grow the program, but more importantly, grow the services that we offer to more veterans, more active duty members. As far as how somebody would get involved, we're online. It's just Veterans Path, P-A-T-H again, veteranspath.org. Or you can find us on most social media platforms, or you can hit me up. It's just J-O-N, John, at veteranspath.org. If you have any questions, I'm always happy to answer them. So that's a little bit as far as how I got involved with them. It was through, again, the Commit Foundation, through transition. I went out to Colorado Springs to do a transition workshop, a Pursue Your Purpose workshop, that's what they call it. And ran into a Green Beret out there who was involved in the health and wellness field in Colorado Springs. He introduced me to Bob McLaughlin, also a former Green Beret there in Colorado Springs, who runs an organization called the Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. And Bob and I talked about potentially my coming in there and running mindfulness and meditation training for transitioning vets there at the Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. And then he asked me if I'd ever heard of Veterans Path. And then, like I said earlier in the conversation, next thing I knew, Veterans Path was contacting me. And I'm still active duty right now, but I am doing this deputy executive director position as part of the SkillBridge transition program, where you can do an internship with an organization out in the civilian sector while the military continues to pay your salary, as long as the military, obviously, as long as they buy off on it and you meet certain requirements. But yeah, that's what that's a little bit about Veterans Path and how I got involved, and a little bit of the transition piece there with the SkillBridge, or technically I'm doing the SkillBridge program through the SOCOM Care Coalition Fellowship, but that's a mouthful, so I just keep it down.
I think that's a great example of planning ahead for a transition, and also a great example of how much serendipity. You know, you were doing a lot with the Commit Foundation. You were going to different events. You were putting yourself out there. You're meeting a lot of people. And out of all of that effort comes these chance encounters that lead to what you're doing. And it's a great plug for the SkillBridge program as well, for you to be able to get this experience without having to make a huge monetary sacrifice right away.
It really helps. I mean, if this is what I want to do afterwards, which I'm thinking it is, and as long as Veterans Path likes me, you know, it'll transition into an actual paying gig at the end of the SkillBridge program. It's a phenomenal program, SkillBridge is. More and more people are finding out about it, which is great. But I think the education at one point for SkillBridge was not on par. The website is a lot better than it used to be. The policy, I think, is being rewritten to be more clear. So I think in the coming years, we're going to have more transition service members taking advantage of the SkillBridge programs.
That's great. Is there for listeners, so we'll put on in the resources links to 10% Happier, to your podcast, to Veterans Path. I'm just wondering, is there any exercise or practice that you would give to them that they could just kind of put to use right away if they wanted to, if they're fired up about what you're talking about and they wanted to kind of give this a try for themselves?
Sure. I mean, honestly, I started very, very basically, like when that psychologist told me, hey, go out and try it. I got on Insight Timer, which I actually have some Insight Timer meditations on there. And I've also got a lot of what I covered in this podcast, I have in a science and benefits piece on Insight Timer. But anyhow, there's tons of apps. Insight Timer is one of them. 10% Happier. There's really hundreds of different apps that are out there. And then within each app, there's thousands of different guided meditations. But what I would recommend somebody do if they're wanting to start tomorrow, start today, is set aside some time. That's the hardest thing, is you've got a schedule that you're keeping right now. And then to add 10 or 15 minutes, it sounds simple, but people forget to do it. And if you don't schedule it, it doesn't happen. Or at least for me, if I don't have it on my calendar, I kind of live and die by my calendar, it doesn't happen. So I intentionally schedule time to meditate, just like I schedule time to get to the gym. So sit down, you know, initially you may only make it 1 minute to meditate before you start. Your mind starts racing and you're like, okay, I can't meditate. Well, that's not true. You can meditate. It's just your mind is going to wander. Your mind is wired to think thousands of thoughts every day. It's trying to keep it from wandering is like trying to keep your heart from beating. It's impossible. It's going to wander, but then you come back, and you come back to that anchor. And you just do that for 1 minute. Maybe the next day you make it for 2 minutes, and you build yourself up and you start to realize that you can in fact meditate. And even in a, you know, 15 minute guided meditation, you may lose track of what that person's saying and then come back to that voice and what he or she is saying. That's your anchor, and you come back to it. And then you find yourself rewiring your brain, literally rewiring it.
Mm. What advice do you have? Because you're making, you know, 20 years military into the nonprofit world. Was that a difficult decision? I'm just curious for listeners who are maybe at the simplest juncture of whether they want to go into a for-profit company or into something more nonprofit driven. How did you approach that? Or what advice do you have for them about thinking about that? decision?
So I mean, full transparency, I've been with Veterans Path officially since the beginning of November, so not very long. I was kind of working with them unofficially back in like September and October. So, you know, four or five months. So my experience in the nonprofit world is fairly limited, and it's almost exclusively with Veterans Path. That transparency blurb out of the way. Working in a nonprofit, I think if, depending on what the purpose is and what you're passionate about, it's hugely fulfilling. I mean, I the reason I joined the military was to help other people, you know, through serving, and now I'm doing that serving in another way. If you're in the military and you joined because you wanted to serve, the nonprofit world is a great way to do it. When people say nonprofit, that doesn't mean you don't get a paycheck. So that's kind of a misnomer. Most of the work has to be for the purpose, right? Or most of the money that comes in has to be for the purpose of the program. That's why it's called the nonprofit. You, as the deputy executive director or the executive director, you're working for a board, and there can be some a board of directors, and there can be some interesting dynamics there in a nonprofit. I'm very lucky in that the board with Veterans Path is very supportive of both Dave and myself and what we're looking to do. Not all nonprofits are that way. Some nonprofits, their board of directors expect you to essentially do everything that they say. It's kind of the board is the boss, and then you're the kind of the XO, or the board is the commanding officer and you're the XO. It's not exactly right though. So anyway, there's definitely subtle nuances that make working in the nonprofit space a little bit more complicated. But again, another side of my transparency is I've only worked in the military, and I haven't worked in the civilian sector for a for-profit business. So this is just based on what I've heard since I've been working for Veterans Path and what I've read as I was preparing to work for a nonprofit. I am actually going to school here locally at Norfolk, in Norfolk, Virginia Beach area, at the Tidewater Community College. They have a nonprofit center of excellence or academy. And you can, if you get a certain number of credits through that, then you can graduate with a certificate of nonprofit management. So I am learning a lot there, but again, it's all classroom work. So I would probably be better prepared to answer that question more accurately in a couple of years. So maybe come back to me.
We'll do a refresh. What about you? You had mentioned different locations for the retreats that you do. For people who are listening who are interested in that, could you share a little bit more about how that works and if there's any associated cost with that?
So yeah, I'll hit the cost piece first. As far as the retreats themselves, there's no cost to the veterans. We do a lot of our fundraising, donations through social media campaigns, fundraising campaigns, GoFundMe. The podcast itself is another funds driver. But we pay for the veteran to go through the retreat. As far as travel to the retreat, that is on the veteran. They've got to pay that. So we do retreats out in California around the San Francisco area, around the Monterey area, down in Carmel Valley. We're looking to do retreats in Colorado Springs, and then we've done them in Tennessee. And then by virtue of the fact that I'm here in Virginia Beach, Norfolk area, we're going to be starting some retreats here locally. We're going to start kind of a pilot with some of the local mindfulness facilitators that are not plugged into Veterans Path yet. I'm going to get them plugged in. And then hope we're going to start with 1 day retreat pilots, and then grow from that 1 day into the 1 day, 3 day and 5 day retreats out here. So really, I mean, if you're anywhere in the country, you should be able to get to one of those four locations fairly easily. But long-term, we hope to have this as something that we're doing with not just the vets, but active duty, and hope to have it implemented, if it's virtually, implemented in the TAP program, the Soldier for Life program, the, you know, all the different transition programs that are out there, excuse me. So if cost is an issue for travel, long-term, we plan on implementing some virtual stuff. We've actually started a partnership with eMindful. If you've heard of them, but they're another mindfulness and meditation company, and they have a really unique program in that if people practice on their platform for 14 minutes a day, 14 minutes a day being 1% of your day, you do that, they rack up minutes, and you can actually donate those minutes to a nonprofit of your choice if it's registered with eMindful. And Veterans Path is one of the nonprofits registered with eMindful. Not only that, but we've also got some veteran-specific, veteran and service member-specific meditations on eMindful, which I haven't found a whole lot of those, but it's literally me just recording some mindfulness courses that I've done, and I've given them to eMindful to spread to veterans who may not be able to make it to our retreats.
That's great. That's really great. And for listeners, I'll add in the resource sections at beyondtheinformed.org for this episode, the links to Dan Harris and 10% Happier, that recent podcast that John mentioned, Insight Timer, eMindful, all of these things. But I think it's great for people who are new with starting to kick it off on eMindful and rack up some minutes and some donations for Veterans Path. Are there any other resources that you would point listeners to, books, podcasts, anything that you recommend they check out?
So I'd be remiss if I don't mention my own podcast, Veterans Path. Veterans Path podcast. I have only recently started. Our listenership is fairly small right now, but we're growing. But what I'm doing with Veterans Path podcast is I bring not only veterans, but other members of society to include some very elite athletes, very high performing corporate leaders on to discuss how they have gotten into the world of mindfulness and meditation, why they practice, and not just mindfulness and meditation, but mental health and what modalities they use. Maybe they use yoga, maybe they use Aikido. People do use other modalities, but really when you boil it down, it all comes down to focusing on the here and now. So anyway, Veterans Path podcast. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of the Dan Harris one. We've mentioned that already. Tim Ferriss, he's also a mindfulness practitioner. Headspace and Timing, that's run by a guy named Dwayne France. He's a big meditator, mindfulness practitioner. And then a fellow Navy SEAL, Mark Devine, fellow Navy SEAL commander, his podcast is The Unbeatable Mind that he does. As for other resources, books, I'm going to sound like I'm beating the drum here for Dan Harris, but he has a book also, 10% Happier. For those who don't know who Dan Harris is, he was an anchorman and had a nervous breakdown on the air, and then because of that ended up getting into mindfulness and meditation. And I just think that his podcast and his books are phenomenal. Another book is called Everywhere You Go, There You Are. And that's by Jon Kabat-Zinn. And for the Western world, Jon Kabat-Zinn is kind of considered to be the father of mindfulness. Another book, not so much meditation, but as far as kind of happiness, one of my favorite books, I loved it so much that after I read it, I ended up buying 10 copies of it. It's called The Happiness Factor. It's by Sean Acor. And I distributed these 10 copies all throughout my command. I'm not sure whatever happened with those books. I'm hoping they didn't just sit on somebody's desk and collect dust. They may have. But anyhow, that's a great book. It's all about how a lot of people feel that people are happy because they are successful, when in fact, the equation is flipped. A lot of people are successful because they are happy. And how can you get happy? How can you find a sense of fulfillment? Well, mindfulness is one of those paths to get there. So
I'll give a quick plug for Dan Harris's 10% Happier. I think he does a great job of just making this really understandable, and it just kind of tracks his journey from this TV anchor into someone who, the premise I like too, it's like, yeah, on average, it'll make you about 10% happier. So it's not like it's claiming to just kind of revolutionize everything. And then the happiness factor, I actually found that because I saw a TED talk that Sean Acor had done, which is exceptional. I'll add that in the show notes as well. It's really entertaining, really funny. But the TED talk's like 15, 20 minutes. Kind of you get the gist of it. But then the book is great because it really goes through some practical things you can do to lead a happier life.
Yeah, if you're a Yale graduate, you may not appreciate that. Yale jokes, but it's all good fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, I always like to leave space at the end, which you can take as either what have we not covered that you want to make sure listeners know, or what is some final things you'd like to leave with them before you wrap up?
I mean, with the name of your podcast and the ones that I've listened to in the past, I mean, a lot is focused on people as they are transitioning to the other side, the wearing beyond the uniform, right? So I do want to talk a little bit more about transition and then I'll be done. But I thought transition was going to be very easy. I thought that it's a little bit arrogant of me, but being that I was a Naval Academy graduate and that I'd been in special operations, that I was going to be set as I transitioned out. Then, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, a good friend of mine, former 06 Navy captain, had retired. He had gotten out, and he said that his transition, he had not put in as much time and effort into the transition as he should have. And he told me, "Hey, you need to sit down with as many people as you can, have 1,000 cups of coffee, pick their brains about what it is they're doing, how did they get to where they are, and find out if that's the path you want to get to. And then once you identify which industry it is you want to get into and then which role it is, how do you get from where you are now to there?" And I picked up, because of the Commit Foundation's recommendation, I picked up a book called Designing Your Life. And I'm sure you've covered this on your podcast before, but just in case somebody's listening for the first time, Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dale Evans, that helps you actually take it with you through a couple of weeks, 3 weeks of your life, and you write down everything that you're doing and whether it gives you energy or whether it takes energy away from you. And I was doing that as I was going through my transition, and that's actually how I identified this is what I want to do. I want to work in the nonprofit space. I want to teach people mindfulness and meditation. Oh, lo and behold, there's already a nonprofit that does that. Boom, it worked out. And then the last book that I would make a plug for is The Transition Mission. It's by my good friend, Herb Thompson. As much as, you know, he's an Army Special Forces guy, so you got to forgive him. But no, I'm just kidding. I love all my Green Beret brothers. But yeah, he's written a great book, The Transition Mission. He's also a Tuck Next Step guy. So those are some programs that programs that I highly recommend if you're transitioning military or if you're an elite athlete transitioning out of what you've been focused on for all your life is the Next Step program at Tuck. That's the business school at Dartmouth College. And then the Commit Foundation and what it is they do. And lastly, for special operations, the Honor Foundation and what they do for transitioning. So those are programs you can look into, and they will really help through the transition part of things. Lastly, it is stressful no matter how much work you put into it. So take some time for yourself. Take some time for you and your family and kind of focus again on the here and the now and really be mindful about the fact that you're coming to the end of a 4-year career or a 30-year career. Hey, you've given time to our country in service in the military. And thank you for, I mean, I'm still active duty, but I'm thanking you for your time and your service. But you need to also just take some time for yourself and your family. So I think that's it, Justin.
That's wonderful. And I don't actually think we've had a lot of plugs for designing your life. I love that structure of writing down the activities. That's really great. And then for the transition mission, we're actually doing a webinar with Herb Thompson soon. And so if you do miss that, if you don't miss it, sign up for it now on the events page. If you do miss it, we'll have a link where you can watch the recording. And I'll also post in the show notes interviews we've done with the Commit Foundation, the Honor Foundation, both incredible resources to check out. John, thank you for your time today, and thank you for the work that you're doing to help the military and veteran community. I think it's really exciting, very worthwhile, and you know, I've enjoyed the benefits of mindfulness in my own life and meditation, a huge advocate, and to see you spreading this work, I think is really, really honorable.
Thanks so much, Justin. I really appreciate being on the show. I love what you're doing for service members and for those who are, in fact, beyond the uniform already. I think it's great work, very honorable there as well, because I think that's one of the larger stressors that we have as we come to the end of, again, a four-year career or 30-year career. That is a huge stress, not just on us, but on family. So you're helping to bring that stress level down. And I think that's great work. So thank you for what you're doing. So go Navy. Surface.
Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Nasiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.